Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Father, the risen Christ, our Lord, and the Holy Spirit, who continues to assure us in faith. And say, first of all, do you see why I really am delighted to have Dwight here today? He's just a great pastor and friend. Every year I come, I love the Low Country because of how it comes alive. After spending 66 or 36 years in Minnesota, where spring doesn't come until mid-May, and then it lasts about 2 weeks, I love the way the earth comes alive here. As you might guess, my yard is full of azaleas and other flowering plants. But this year, it came really late. The last of the azaleas just faded this past week. But in South Carolina, there is so much in nature coming alive that it's almost as if the whole landscape shouts, Christ is risen. Much of the world seems to celebrate Easter as a one-day occurrence. But in Lutheran and other Christian denominations, Easter is an entire season, 50 days, in which we recall the various appearances of Jesus after the resurrection. We want to experience all the ways in which Christ dealt with his followers as he prepared for the time when he would no longer be with them. The earth is shouting, he is risen. But the disciples, not so much, as we pick up their first encounters with the risen Lord. Today's gospel text had the disciples huddled behind locked doors in Jerusalem for fear of the Jews. Now remember, Jesus told them to go to Galilee where he would meet them there. Now did they go? No. But they were afraid. And rightly so. Even if Jesus was risen, what was to prevent the same crowd from coming after them? Self-preservation is a strong motive, often overwhelming any other rational considerations. So the disciples were meeting in secret, probably trying to decide what to do next. Curiously, they were more afraid of the Jews than they were of facing their Lord. Remember, Peter had betrayed Jesus, and the rest of them had run away. Now, John's gospel doesn't tell us exactly how Jesus came upon them. Now, we know that he touched and ate, so he wasn't a ghost. But he also seemed to come and go with supernatural powers, befitting one who had risen from the dead. What we do know is what Jesus' first words to his disciples were, words of comfort and assurance, setting them all at ease, or at least as much as ease as they could have under the circumstances. Next, he showed them his wounds, so that they would know that it was really him. You see, Jesus was totally ministering to them. A total reversal of what might have been. Don't you think these friends, these followers of Jesus, might have asked how he was doing after the ordeal of the crucifixion? But no, it's always God who is concerned for us. And then Jesus breathes on them. Receive the Holy Spirit. Remember, it's the Spirit that brings us to faith. It's a gift in baptism, and it's a gift that keeps on giving each day. But even more significantly, Christ commissions them, even in their fearful and tentative state, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. You know, these are the very words that are still a part of the ordination service to this day. They are words at the heart of my work, and actually all of our callings, to be gracious and forgiving people toward others. When the disciples reach out to their absent friend Thomas, he expresses the same skepticism that one would expect, and realistically, the same things that they all felt before they actually saw Jesus. Now, many give Thomas a bum rap. You know, they call him Doubting Thomas. But the gospel writer included this incident because doubt was a very real issue for the early church. John's gospel was being written many years after the actual events, as the eyewitnesses to the resurrection were dying off. And so they were under continual persecution. And the words, "Blessed are those who have not seen but believe," were offered as encouragement. But John goes even further in the final words of this chapter. John tells us Jesus did many other things that are not written in this book, but these were written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life in his name. This is the testimony we have, which is why we hold the scriptures in such high regard. They aren't always easy to understand, but as we gather each week, we hear the words of scripture in song, in liturgy, sometimes in children's song with motions, read in the lessons and preached. But even more, we experience it in the lives lived, in our fellow believers, and in the many noble lives of witnesses around us. This Easter season is about believing. And when I see all the earth coming alive around us, I wonder how it is that anyone doubts that there is resurrection. In the stunning azaleas, in the trumpet announcement of the Easter lilies, in the leafing out of the trees, the crops emerging from the ground, and probably most significantly, in the newness that comes to us each day as we awaken. All I can say is, Christ the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.